This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the JMS Boxing Podcast. This is part two of Look Two Manor. Enjoy.
What did you do next then? Because
at 32,
I can skip to 2008 and stuff, but
at 32, I was sort of like, I took the pub over in 2004. Was it 2004? I took the pub over, and I literally, I'm not a smoker and a drinker. And so what happened was that initially... No,
didn't you drink a Malibu and Coke?
Yeah. Listen, I've actually got drunk on a bottle of X.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Sorry, this is for all those people that are against drink driving. What I did was I thought, I wonder what will happen. So I had a bottle of X at the end of the night when I finished work. I drove from Rochester to Maidstone.
Only one bottle?
One bottle of X.
You didn't even be drink driving. It's under limit. You're under limit.
I fell out of the car.
Fucking hell. Right. You wouldn't have blown.
I fell out of the car. I couldn't understand. I fell out of the car. I was stumbling. I was like, alcohol and me just don't mix. It's not one of those things. There's something in the chemical mix up with me. It just doesn't work. So I don't drink. And took the pub over 2004, and then what I did is I slowly converted the back to a gym area, somewhere I could train.
You wanted weights, yeah, but you had weights.
Normally it was all weights in there. I had a bag in there. I had a heavy bag in there. So I would use the heavy bag, weight train. And that was primarily what I did. It was a case of, I think I did it for a while, and then I had more gym stuff go in there, and I thought to myself, like, okay, I put some mats down in there. I put some mats down in there, and then people knew that I had a matted area. And so I was messing around with a few people. I was training with a few people. And if you know Rochester, it's one of those ones where one of the best ways to make friends is treat your enemies as your friends. And it was a case of you don't want to be what I would call having a full-on fist fight in that environment. But you need to be in a position where people respect you as well.
Yeah, because I remember, so I turned up 2008, and me and, if you remember, Dan Doyle. Yeah, he was always with me. He used to come before I went. So it's funny. So I remember him putting CVs into all the pubs apart from yours, Queen Charlotte, right? And I went, oh, fuck it. I was like, what have I got to lose? So I put mine in. Minute later, get the phone call, get the job with the old manager that was in there.
Yeah.
And then I met you and Damien.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was like off his nut.
Yes.
Yeah. So I met you and Damien the first night, and then sort of I think when I started to work there and then we started to work there, I remember you having the gym at the back. And I always remember it being known as a rough like place. I remember like being told, oh, you work there, like it's quite rough.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never seen it kick off. It didn't kick off that much when I was there, to an extent. But yeah, and then I'd like also remember like when you started to have conversations with you, and you're one of the only people at the time who watched UFC or knew about UFC. So I used to just talk to you about it. I didn't really have anyone else, no one else. Everyone loved boxing, and boxing was quite high at that point before it went to the lull when UFC started to come in. So I used to be able to talk to you about boxing and the UFC, but UFC was only predominantly a conversation that we used to have because I couldn't have it with much. And I'd done, like I said, I'd done training with In Gravesend and stuff. No one really knew about it, which, like...
Again, at that time for me, I was, as I said, I had the... I opened up, it was my gym initially, and it was a case of sometimes when you're running a pub, you have to... You have to sort of like get people to, when people come into a pub because of alcohol is involved. Lads tend to go right. Okay, I reckon I can take the piss in here.
Yeah.
So and it was, and I thought to myself, what's the best way I can do it? And the best way to do it for me was, I used to sort of like have like I had that little tire out of the back. You know, and
little
tire, yeah,
So, here we go.
So, and I used to say, if I used to have a group of lads, and it was a case of, I always say, you have to be smart. So, if I had a group of lads, and I thought to myself, if these lads get pissed up, they're going to be a fucking nightmare, right? And I thought to myself, I do not want to be fighting people. So, what I used to say was, I said, you lot like you go to the gym, don't you? And lads being lads would go, yeah, of course we do. We go to the gym.
Ego gets in the way.
Ego kicks straight away. And I said, I'll tell you what, boys. I said, I've got a little tyre out back. If you can lift the tyre up, I'll get you a pint. And they're going, yeah, we're up for that. Straight away. And sort of like, I take them out of the back. And in their head, they're thinking it's a little tractor tyre. And the tyre was a 300 kilo earth-moving tyre. So, and I'd go... There's a tyre, and I remember used to drop it down, and it used to make that horrible noise, you know, echo all around the room. And they'd look at you and go, shit, straight away, you'd get about sort of like seven and take a step back. And the two that you think are going to be dickheads, you go, we're the ones that are left standing. Now we know who's who. Right? And again, it's chess. And so I'd go, way you go, boys. You've stepped forward. You're there. All your mates have left you. And they'd be like, well, can you lift it? And I'd be like, well, I wouldn't have it here if I couldn't. And they'd sort of like look at me and go, why? And one of them might sort of like try and get it off the floor and couldn't get it off the floor. And I thought, that's he's out. Then there'd be one. And sometimes they would lift it. Nine times out of ten, they couldn't, you know. And then they'd go, will you lift it then? So you lift it up and put it up against the wall and go, there you go, boys. And they'd be like, fuck. Straight away, go back into the pub. Now they're now completely
different.
Atmosphere's
different.
Really. Atmosphere's completely different now, right? No punches have been thrown. There's just a little bit more respect there, right? So that's what I did. And then what happened was I was getting bored with the weight training because it's not really what I would call... It's not competitive. So I put an advert in the local shop on the corner. Sparring partner wanted.
Right?
I don't know Medway. So I put an advert in there. And I had a couple of lads come along, and one of them was a coach, and he come along and we had a little move around. I can't remember, he was a big, tall, the Medway lads will know him, but he was probably about 6'3", 6'4". He was a big guy, and I had a little move around with him. Unbeknownst to what you won't know is that one day Grant Dennis was in the pub.
Right.
Yeah, right. And we just got talking. And again, I met Grant. This is before I met him through Joe Elfin.
Yeah.
This was years and years earlier. And he's sort of like very humble, really nice. And he said, yeah, I box a little bit. And we just got talking. I do as well. You know, we got talking.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and I'm so glad he never did. And he never took me up on that advert that was in the shop and said, I'll go back with you because I would have come unstuck. But again, it was a case of I put the advert up because I thought to myself, you get to know people.
Yeah.
People get to know you, blah, blah, blah. So I did that for a while. As I said, I sort of like a box out there. Probably regular for probably a couple of years.
You helped, you got me back into it first time round. I can't, second time round I'll come to, but
yeah.
First time round I just remember you going, because I did bits of kickboxing amateur with Frank.
Yeah, I love Frank.
Yeah, so I said, I told you about Frank and you were like, oh, sweet. Do you want to come out back? I'll show you some bits. And I was like, sweet. Yeah, let's go. And then we started to train. That's where we started to train and do a bit of weights and stuff like that with it as well.
Yeah.
So that's when, that was 2008 before I went off and done my bit elsewhere.
Yeah. So as I said, I had the pub, I had the boxing stuff set up. Then I think one day Joe come into the pub and he was looking. He said, I've heard you've got a little bit of a boxing club out the back or a little bit of a boxing area. I said, yeah, I have. Who are you? Got talking.
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Joe for years, you know. So I showed Joe and he said, oh, this would be ideal. And I said, and he said to me, how much do you want for it? I said, £1. I said, I'm not really bothered. I said, it's being used.
Fuck, are you to charge us five a go, the bastard?
But for me, it didn't really. Thing is, people are getting used. And the one thing that I've always found difference between boxing and martial arts is there's an awful lot of money in martial arts.
Okay.
Right. In boxing, it's generally people that I'd call your councillors, coaches,
working
class lads. They haven't got a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's no point asking them for a tenner because they ain't going to have it. Right. They'll go, it's an IOU for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Right, make a couple of quid.
Yeah.
They'll get a couple of quid from
yeah.
them. The parents, they might give them a couple of quid because it means that they're doing something and keeping out of mischief. Whereas martial arts is completely different. So that's how I, from my point of view, £1. Okay, if you haven't got £1, but you've got fags in your pocket, right, one of us is taking the piece.
Yeah.
Everyone's got £1. And that's how I kept it as £1.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world stuff. So I was quite happy with that. It was getting used, and then over a period of time, I made it bigger.
We might put
the dividing wall up.
Where the barrels were on the second.
Where the barrels, room, I made the beer room a little bit smaller. I thought I'd get away with making that smaller, so put the dividing wall up. We made the room a bit bigger. I think Joe sort of like spent a bit of money on a bit of kit, and I said, "Yeah, so I'll get someone to put that up for us." It was great. It was, you know, it was good for me. It was being used. Got to meet loads and loads of different characters, and again, you know, I met you two Herberts.
No, you already know me.
Yeah. So, but then, yeah, and that was I did that, and then I think over a period of time, you know, I started training with you guys regular at the boxing at that club there, as it was, and then sort of like Joe would sort of say to me, "You fancy going?"
Sparring.
So I started sparring with the lads and then getting invited up to Brompton Barracks, sparring up there, then going over to in Chatham, and sparring over the, you guys over there as well, and just moving around with you boys.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's something I've always enjoyed doing. It's something that I, to this day, it's probably going to be the last thing I can physically do that I will still carry on doing. I still enjoy putting on a pair of gloves, moving around with somebody. I find it so interesting.
As we did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. I did it the other day with a couple of lads. You know, I just enjoy it. And it's one of those things that, you know, prior to having my kids and my wife and everything else, it was my first love. So boxing and martial arts has always been my first love. And people always say, well, say to me, why do you like martial? I said, I like the martial arts gives you more. Boxing is very much a case of, I've been in boxing clubs where I've seen coaches vaping, smoking outside.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen lads coming in going, yeah, I couldn't get to work this morning, so I jumped into someone's back garden and I stole somebody's bike so I could get to work. And the trainers are laughing about it. So there is that moral side of boxing that I go, do you know what? You should be putting these lads on the straight and narrow a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas in martial arts, you do get that. You don't get it in boxing. And I'm not saying all boxing coaches are like it. But again, it's something that I've not seen it in martial arts clubs. Martial arts clubs are generally very much case that there is a right and wrong. Whereas you don't get it in the boxing clubs. I might be wrong, and I apologise. I don't mean to offend anyone. Right? So I, as I said, I enjoy that side of things, and people always say to me again, what do you prefer? And I said, look, I love boxing. I really do. I can't physically do what I used to do from a martial arts point of view, because physically I hate it, and it will catch up with everyone. Well, I will say to now, people say, are you going to fight again? Yeah, I'm in a fight at the moment. I say, it's with Mother Nature.
Right.
Right? And she's undefeated.
Right? So you're never going to jump back in the ring and compete again?
No, never compete again. Now it's a case of just enjoy. If somebody says to me, look, I've had 8 fights, I go, I'll have moved around with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much a case of it keeps me young. You know, so I can't do what I used to do. I still train, and I'm naturally competitive, and I find it very difficult. So if I go to the gym and I weight train, I generally train on my own, because I will have a minute's rest, right, which is from a fighting background. I'll have a minute's rest and I'll go again. And I'll keep doing that all the time.
People want to walk.
People don't want to wander around. They want to get on their phone. They want to have a social chit-chat. Yeah. I can't do that. So I generally don't have training partners from a weights point of view, because I train quite disciplined, right? But there again, I just look at how people train nowadays and go, I can't do what you do.
No.
You know, I'm very disciplined in how I train. And it's the same, let's see, 6 months ago I took up swimming.
Yeah.
Right, so I've been swimming regular. So I think that's all right, and I've set myself a target. I do a mile breaststroke against the clock in the hour.
Right.
That's my target, and that's what I do. So, you know, I always set myself challenges. And the same thing again, it's we're jumping backwards and forwards now.
It's all right.
This is where
I'm going to jump back myself in a minute. That's fine. So it's all right.
When I was younger, someone said to me, right, okay, you should always have goals. Right, it says, as you get older, you should always have a goal. Right. If at the beginning of the year, your goal is to get rich by the end of the year, how are you going to do it? Are you just going to suddenly wake up and get rich? Or what are you going to do? Have you got a business plan? What are you going to do? You should have a goal. They said, you can apply that principle to everything that you do in your life. So they said, whether it be work, whether it be home. And they said, if you decide, I'm going to have a year of doing fuck all, as a man said, I'm going to do fuck all today, right? And if at the end of the year you've done fuck all, you've achieved your goal.
Never happens. Yeah, woman comes in, you ain't doing that.
Right? So I literally, even now, I still set myself targets, okay? They can be financial targets. They can be physical targets. Have targets. Otherwise, what you tend to do is you tend to not really get done what you can get done. So set yourself goals. So as I said, I go swimming now. I still go to the gym. I started doing Phil Island's Thai boxing class.
Okay.
And I'm trying to, again.
Is that up? Okay.
At Ironworks.
You're doing the Thai boxing now?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And Thursdays.
Thursdays, right.
So okay. I did it this week. I did Thursdays. I did Phil's class first. Then I started, I'm going to do Damien's class after. And this is where my want and my will and my body's ability to do it are two different things at the moment. So I literally sort of like, I think I did about 50 minutes of Damon's class. I said, Damon, I'm done, mate. Stop going home. You know,
I haven't been there because I'm injured. So I've had 2 weeks where I haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah.
But you're saying about your body and your will. You already know everything. So for me, like as I've got older, I'm coming to this new thing and I'm like, this is all new to me and I'm really enjoying that learning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, it's a case of I tend to find I go to Damon's class and they're doing stuff that I think myself, I can't remember that bit, or there's bits of it that's missing because I didn't do it long enough for it to be ingrained.
And I know he's quite respectful of you, even though I want him to give you some shit.
Yeah. The thing was, like, again, this is where my memory's really bad and... Damon, I met Damon at Combat, and it was a case of I was going to Combat for a while, and when it was, I had the pub, and I was going over there training, and I'm sort of like, I was getting there early, and I was doing a bit of sparring, and then I met Carl Kinslow.
Yeah.
And it turned, me and Carl Kinslow, sort of like, he sort of said to me, he said, what time did you get here? And I think the class started at 7, and I was getting there for about 6:30, half hour early, and over the next sort of like 2 or 3 weeks, he said, I'll get here for 6:30. I said, all right. And he said, do you want to have a spa? And I was like, absolutely. So me and Carl are sort of like, we started sparring, and it wasn't a case of, I didn't know Carl, but Carl, if you meet him, Carl's got either full on or nothing. So we would literally start sparring within about 30 seconds, we're having it.
Right, okay.
You know, and it was, don't get me wrong, and something I was told when I was younger, you said you've got heavy, I was told I've got heavy hands.
Yeah. Right. Which we are aware of.
Right, and I haven't got a clue what that meant, because you can't punch yourself in the face and go, well, that's what it feels like. So until you meet someone who's got heavy hands, you haven't got a clue. So I started sparring, and as soon as he smacked me in the face, I thought, that felt different. Right, and so we started sparring, and we're going at it each other, and this went on for a period of weeks, you know, and to the point where now the whole classroom has stopped and now watching us. Right, and Carl at the time, I think he had a reputation where people didn't want to spar him because he was literally heavy-handed. Not in a horrible way, he just didn't
know how to control it.
He just didn't know how to control it. And so I'd start sparring with Carl all the time. And I met Damon, right, at this time. Damon was a young lad, just started there. And Damon was asking me questions about boxing. What should I do with this? What should I do when I'm doing this? Curiosity questions as a beginner, right? And I'd say, I'll try this, keep your hand, whatever it might be. But I couldn't remember him. I couldn't remember him. And years later, I bumped into Lee Page and said, oh, Damon's doing really well. Who's Damon?
Fuck him.
Back to Lee Murray.
Yeah.
Right? And he went, you should train with him. Did I? Yes. Like this. And so this conversation went on and said, he's doing really good. He's, you know, and sort of like then they put up the phone of the Zilla
picture. Yeah.
And I was like, who the fuck is that? And I was, that's Damon. I'm looking at this. Yeah, I do recognise him now. But I was like, he didn't look like that when I was training. I said, I'm not fucking sparring him. Like this. And so I met Damon again probably years later. And again, such a nice guy. Probably, you know, again, it's it goes back to what I've said about the people that I've met through martial arts. They are so humble. You wouldn't necessarily think they are who they are and they can do what they can, because they wouldn't necessarily walk around. I've never, ever seen it. This is the difference between boxers, and I tend to find there's an awful lot of ego with boxers.
Yes.
Right?
I'm sorry, I know I'm cutting in. I'm going to say this about the gyms as well.
Yes.
I find this with the gyms. You walk into a boxing gym.
Yeah.
You want to rip each other's head off, and everyone just wants to rip each other's head off.
Yeah.
You walk into an MMA gym, or a martial arts gym for you, MMA gyms for me, and they're like, oh, we could do this. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to work on that, so let's go and do that. And you're not necessarily trying to rip each other's head off. You're training hard.
Yeah.
But you're not there to rip each other.
The ego side of it is, unfortunately, it's more in boxing because everyone wants to say they're top dog.
Yeah.
I'm the hardest puncher in this room. Right. And it's a case of, and I always worry about that because I thought, yeah, you are, but you're going to end up hurting someone. And so I always like, when I've met people like Damon, Lee Johnson, Lee Page, they're people that are physically very strong. I remember grappling with Lee and Lee throwing me across the room.
Lee Page. Yeah.
And we were going over to a wrestling club in Sittingbourne. There was a judo or a Sittingbourne wrestling club at the time. I can't remember what it's called. And I remember Lee, he's grabbed hold of my arm and he's pulled me. And I've gone airborne for a split second. I am Superman with a tan. I'm flying across the air. I've landed on the floor probably a good 6 to 8 feet from one side of the room to the other. And I said, I just couldn't, I didn't see that. And then I smacked him in the face with a jab. And he said, no, I didn't see that either. Because we don't recognise. They're different things. But again, people, I think, when they come from a boxing background, it's a case of sometimes, I think, they don't necessarily give themselves the best light. And I've seen an awful lot of bullies in boxing clubs, you know. And I tend to find, I've been to different clubs where, as I said, I went to where I was training at combat with Carl Kinslow. I was doing that for, I think, 4 or 6 weeks I did that, and then I stopped going. And then, unbeknown to me, Carl was knocking on the pub at 11:30 on a Wednesday morning. Where you been? Like this. Okay, what do you mean, where I've been? I said, I've been working, mate. And he was like, when are you coming back? I said, I'm not. And he was lying, literally, genuinely. He was like, why not? Well, you know, I said, Carl, what do you do? This was on a Tuesday. What do you do on a Wednesday, Carl? He said, I'll get up and go training. I said, all right, then. What do you do on a Thursday?
Get up and go training.
Get up and go training, like this, all week. I said, I'll tell you what I do on a Tuesday morning. Oh, sorry, get on a Wednesday morning, I'll get up, right, and I'm deciding what I can eat and can't eat because my jaw is aching. Right. I can't chew my food, right? On a Thursday morning, right, everything else is now starting to ache. Right? I'm sore. Friday morning, by Sunday, I'm starting to feel a little bit better than normal. Monday, I'm thinking, oh, no, I've got to do it again Tuesday. And then I said to him, how old are you, Carl? And he was like, 26. I said, Carl, I'm 43. Right, and he went, oh, I didn't realise that. And it, again, it was really nice. And the thing is, I said to him, and I was very honest with him, said, Carl, I can't sit and watch. I can't sit on the sidelines and watch. I want to join in. Right, and I find it very difficult just to sit on the sidelines and watch. I want to join in. So I stopped going there. And it wasn't, you know, I sort of like I said to Lee, I said, look, you know, I'm busy at work. You know, I didn't really go into detail. And I explained myself to Carl. You know, but I physically couldn't sit on the sidelines and watch. Then I went to, there was a club in Maidstone called Ministry of Weightlifting Gym, Ministry of Muscle, and there was a guy there called Clive, and he had an MMA gym. And I started going there, and then we got talking, and I said, look, I don't mind. I quite happily pay you my money, right? I said, if you don't mind, I said, I quite happily spar, train, and help out. I said, because you had a big club there.
Mm.
Yeah, and he said, I don't mind that. Same thing again. You're coaching people, you're helping people. But sometimes, as an instructor, trying to divide your attention with 30, 40 people in the room.
I imagine it'd be quite hard.
It's very hard. Whereas, and if you've got, and I said, look, you've got an extra pair of eyes. I said, I'll just literally help out. So I'd help out on the stand-up side of things. He would do the groundwork stuff. And then sometimes I'd go, look, my groundwork is rusty. I can help out.
Yeah.
And just give him pointers. And say, do this and don't do that, you know. And then, again, I did that for a while. And then I think then what happened that then slow. And this is obviously all the time the pub's going on as well.
Yeah.
So literally I'm just sort of like my spare time was training. And then from there I think it was a case of the pub. You guys started to have a couple of unlicensed fights. And I thought, well, Joe said to me, do you want to do one? I said, well, all right, I'll do one. You know, and so like I think I went up with Owen.
Yeah, I think it was Owen. Yeah,
I think it was Owen. And
we this went was up before to, me, before coming back.
Yeah, I think I went up with Owen to I think it was Colchester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at a nightclub.
Yeah, I was about to say it's
Liquid
Envy. Liquid Envy.
Yeah, and Joe said, "Do you want to do one?" He said, "You're going to be the away fighter." And yeah. I didn't know
what that was.
What that was, and then someone I was like, "Oh, right, get it." And so I went up there, did a boxing match, and I think the lads were saying to Owen, I think your lads won this. And I was lying. So I lost the fight.
And my
guy was sitting in the ambulance having treatment afterwards. So that's how I looked at it. I thought myself, mate, I weren't really that worried, you know. Then Peter Stoughton had a show in, is it Leescliffe Hall? Folkestone. He had a show in there, and Joe put me down for that. He said, do you want to do it? I said, I'll do it. I said, I don't mind. And I remember, again, you're trying to run a business, you're trying to fit your training in.
Yeah, which is difficult. Yeah.
It's just difficult. And it goes back to it's a hobby.
Yeah.
I don't, if somebody said to me, does it bother you? I go, don't bother me at all. If you get knocked out, you get knocked out. And so I remember fought a young lad, Billy. I can't remember what he said. Billy Hollingsworth, I think his name was. He was an electrician. And he sort of shook hands. He said, I think we're going to be fighting each other. I think we are, man. I think at the time, we was completely different weights, you know, but they put us together. Yeah. It's unlicensed. So, and I remember starting off, and I just remember slipping punches. And I think to myself, I'm actually quite good at this, right? But then I've forgotten where I am, right? I should have been keeping my hands up. And I think right at the tail end of the first round, he's caught me in an overhand right, and it just put me straight on my ass. I've got up, and it was, I got back and fucking dazed. I knew it'd been hit, but I didn't know what it hit.
Yeah.
And then he put me on my ass, and so I got up, and I think into the second round, he'd caught me again because I hadn't recovered from the first one fully. Ref stopped the fight and I lost. Same thing again. I don't really worry about it too much because I go, I'm just doing something I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those ones where I've always said to people, I said, look, I've never met anyone yet that doesn't change after they've been in the ring. They have a lot more respect for other people. They are generally the better for it. You know, they'll try avoiding certain things.
Because I know it's going back. I don't know if you remember. So I didn't meet these guys just by turning up at the pub. I met them through you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember this. This is going to, hopefully, I've noticed how bad your memory is. Probably not. So I remember turning back up from the Navy and basically my life had just been absolutely ruined. And I remember I was just spiraling, just turn up, just getting pissed up, just spiraling right out of control. And then I think you pulled me back one night and went, you're going out of control. Like, I haven't seen you be like this. And then I think you literally went, what are you doing right now? I went, nothing, just purely the fact that I still was getting paid, but I had this loads of leave, didn't have a job at the time because I was looking at the time. And then you went, right, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, come back down, Jim, and you're going to come back and we're going to start boxing. Basically, we're going to come to the gym, you're going to start boxing with me.
Yeah.
I've got a lad down there, Joe, he's got a load of fighters, come train with me, and then what I'll do is I'll integrate you in with them and then you can go from there. And then literally, I've come down, had that first session, you made me be sick. I remember going out the gym. This was 11 o'clock in the morning. I remember getting to the point, fitness was obviously terrible. I remember being sick, but didn't look back after. And it also, as I don't know if you're aware, changed the way I looked at things as well, changed the way, sorted my head out, and basically helped me piece back together my life to then move forward with everything that's gone on, obviously, past it. So that side of it, and then obviously through my thingies, and I attribute me boxing down to you. That's why I said about do everything that we're doing here, I attribute to you, which is that's what I'm saying. I know you would. But that's from that side of it. That's why. Obviously, I've been keen for you to come on to talk about your side of, like, your story. But, yeah, literally, the boxing side of it, that gym, obviously, I attribute a lot of the where I've been able to go forward to. I know when I spoke on my podcast that it sounded quite negative, but the positive side is actually I was able to sort boxing, sorted my head out.
Thing is, I've tried to look at what I've seen in my life and go to people, look, it's very easy to go, right, okay, you're going to come in, you're going to box, you're going to coach somebody and go, right, now fuck off. You know, and I thought to myself, I have to be careful with this, right? I didn't really have the best upbringing. So I left home at 16, right? So, and I thought to myself, and I was wild as a kid. So, you know, for me, as I said, as an Indian kid, it's just normal. If you go back into the 80s, 70s and 80s, when you had the old Bill fucking turning up at your house, trust me, it was it was the cultural side of things. Yeah. It just didn't happen. So I was literally off the rails and the boxing sorted me out and it gave me a release.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as I've grown up, I looked at people that have been my instructors as father figures.
Yes.
Because I can literally talk to them and they've literally guided me. You know, so they've said to me, look, if you carry on doing this, and it could be the way I'm training, they'll say to me, look, you're overtraining. You're not giving yourself time to recover. So I've learned a lot of it was just little things to help me carry on training. So again, I learned things like if you train too much, you think you're getting unfit. If you're not, you're literally getting so fit that you're literally draining yourself and you're not recovering. And you pick up knowledge over a period of time, and it's the little things, and then the idea being is you pass that information on. But so that when you see people doing something similar, you go, I recognise that. what you're doing is this,
yeah,
and this is how it's affecting your body. You need to change this. So the idea being is it's not a secret, it's knowledge. Pass it. Because it'll mean that that person will potentially change how they're training and then they'll not make that mistake.
Yeah.
You know, so it could be little things. I mean, I remember going for a phase in my time where I'd literally, what I would call, keep fighting fit all year round, right? And someone said to me, said, right, that is so unhealthy.
Yeah, that your immune system. Like, your immune system,
right? And it's to do with your immune system. Yeah. And I didn't understand it. And they said, like, I remember, what was it? I think there was an athletics event on TV and one of the athletes had caught a flu, right? And I was like, a flu? What's up with you? But now, you know, you learn that your immune, the fitter you get, the weaker your immune system gets. And if your immune system gets that weak, you catch a flu, you ain't going to be out of it for a week. You're going to be out of it for 2 weeks and it's going to take you six weeks to recover. Because your immune system, and the fitter you get, you have to be careful. You don't need to keep yourself at what I would call fighting fit fitness all year round. It's not healthy. So they're the things that you learn and you then pass on to people.
Yeah.
You know,
which
is what I did, and that's what I've always done, and I still do it now, and I try not to do it now because not that I try not to. It's a case of if somebody asks me, I will give information, but I won't go out of my way
to provide
because I'm not in my, it's someone else's club, you know. So I wouldn't do it. I go to Damien's classes, I go to Phil Ireland's classes, you know, and I literally wouldn't say anything if somebody asked me. I say, no, try doing this and don't do that. But I'd never start to go, no, no, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. It's not my place.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very respectful of it because it's not my place to do that. And then the other side is I've always, people will say to me, you know, what you're doing, and I'll bump into people that do the traditional type martial arts and they'll go, you know, why are you, what are you doing? So I'm doing that, I'm doing the boxing, and I wouldn't say we have a falling out. I'd say we have a, what I would call difference of opinion sometimes. Yeah. And I've always put it down to this. I said, look, they'll ask me the question and I'll go, look, you have to understand that I don't agree with the bullshit that's involved in martial arts. And I said, if you're into it, that's fine. That's your cup of tea, not a problem. I said, I'm not. And I said, and someone had said to me years ago, they were looking for an instructor and they found me, my name was given to them and I started being their instructor for them for a period of time. And I said, you need to go find a boxing club first. And they said, why do I need to go to a boxing club? I said, because one of the things you're going to be doing is boxing with me. So you need to go to a boxing club first, then you come to me. And I said, then I'll add to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then we got talking and they said, look, what was the whole thing about sending me to a boxing club? And I said, look, you've got to understand that most people do martial arts don't box. They're two separate entities.
Yeah.
Right? They don't like it. People that do traditional martial arts don't like boxing, right? I said, but you have to understand I very relevant from a protection point of view, because if you're defending yourself, the first thing you're going to have to accept is you're going to get a smack in the face. So I used to do ladies' classes, self-defense classes, and I see an awful lot of women, they do self-defense. Boxing is good for self-defense. I go, do you sparring now? No, I don't sparring. Why not? Right, you just don't do it for whatever reasons. Some clubs do, but in general they don't. So when people say to me, well, why is it you love boxing but you do martial arts? And I go, look, let me put it to you this way. So if I want to do sparring in a club in Maidstone at a martial arts club, I will have to do what I can do and can't do, what the rules and what the restrictions are. I said, that's in Maidstone.
Yeah.
Right. I can go to a boxing club anywhere in the world, right? Stick a gum shield in. I know he's going to smack me in the face.
Yeah.
Smack him in the face. There is no bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
There's that civil war, isn't there, with martial arts and boxing, where I love both. I love both. I love MMA and boxing. But I've got respect for everything.
They're completely... I had this conversation, I think it came up on social media years ago, where people are talking about martial arts and how boxing is a form of... I said, the discipline within boxing is very similar to martial arts, but it can't be classed as a martial art. I said, the reason martial art is classed as a martial art is because it's originally it was a military fighting art.
Okay.
So it wasn't devised for competition.
Yeah.
It was devised for warfare. So if you were going into warfare where you were having, prior to the gun, you would have sword. Even in this country, you'd have sword fighting. If your sword got dropped, then what are you going to do? You would win by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say, so you're going to kill someone with your hands. So the idea being is, great, if you've got armor, but then again, if you look at, say, China and Japan 500-600 years ago, armor was made out of bamboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you were Chinese or Japanese, you couldn't afford that, in which case you were poor. So how are you going to defend yourself? So it was hand to hand.
Yeah.
So warfare was devised through martial arts. And this is prior to gyms. So people say, well, years ago, you didn't have gyms. You didn't have resistance and weights. What you had was your body weight. So if you look at the old Chinese Shaolin type training,
yeah,
you know, where they're doing these stupid exercises. I go, will you try doing some of those stupid exercises? You just try doing some of them. I said, I don't care how you look at it. What they do is on the body is phenomenal, you know, and it's understanding, again, they have their place. And now it's a case of, I don't get involved in the whole sort of like witches. Which is better? Is this better than this?
Yeah, this.
And I always say, well, no, because they're all perfect. I said, you are representing that art form. I said, therefore, are you the best at it? Because the art form is perfect.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Respecting every martial arts. Then that's,
respect them all. And at the end of the day, I think Lee Page, that was on it, you know, I love all the fighting arts. I do love all of them. And it's a case of, there are some of them, I think, I watch the YouTube videos where people have, you get these Chinese masters that have come unstuck against an MMA fighter and they've just got battered. And I go, kind of your own fault. It's kind of your own, you know, because there is that element of, it's that black belt mentality where we are that good. And you have to remember, some of these clubs, they are multi-million pound businesses. I've been in, I'll say the guy's name, Matt Fides. You won't have heard of him, but he was, I think he was Michael Jackson's bodyguard years ago. He's worked with the likes of Peter Andre, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I've been to a, what they call a grading, and there's probably 300 to 400 people in a room, in a hall. They have hired a school. Right, and they're doing a grading at £35 to £40 a pop.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, we're talking big business.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, the difference between their black belts, I'd say 80% of them couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag.
Right. Yeah. Right?
But it's business.
Can I just go back to one sparring session that we had? And I'm going to say this because I think this needs to be on record. I know I make myself look bad here as such. Let's say, you know the sparring session because with me and him, and I'll come back to it. You'll understand. So we're there, Brompton Barracks, the one at Gillingham, and we're just getting into it. I'm fit as anything, right? We're there, and I think we started off, because I know with you, if you will go at someone else's pace. So I think I was hitting you normally, and then I think I caught you with a good shot, and you was like, okay, we're going to play it like that. And I just remember you slipping, stepping off to the side and hitting me with the body shot of all body shots, to the point that Wade turned around and said it sounded like someone had been shot. And I remember my soul had left my body and I was rolling on the floor.
Funny because it's true.
Yeah. Honestly, I just remember just being hit with this. I just couldn't breathe. I just wanted to put out, because I know, I put my hands out. It was just such a good shot.
Listen, I used to grow up watching the likes of Mike Tyson, you know, and I used to love watching his body shot up through the middle. And I used to think that was just such an awesome technique and pattern.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I used to love rolling body shots. And I watched Ricky Hatton as he was coming through body shots.
Oh, yeah,
you know, I think boxers, what they do is they tend to get a little bit head shot, head hungry.
Yes.
You know, whereas I will sometimes, I've always looked at boxing and any of the combat arts as chess. So I will deliberately drop my guard to give you a target.
With that little smile.
With a smile on my face. Yeah.
That grin that you
have. You know, and it's either you're going to take the bait or you're not. You know, and if you take the bait, I'll go, let's see if he does it again.
Yeah.
And then if you start to fall into a pattern, and it, again, this is where, you know, I listen to people and, you know, a lot of things I do, I go, well, yeah, I suppose I'm not a professional boxer, but I listen to what you do. And I, some of the things I do on the basis, well, okay, you're literally trying to predict what direction, and you're trying to steer the person in front of you in a certain direction. Mm. So you'll give him a headshot target, see if he's going to take the bait. Does he take it? Or does he literally, I always find the guys, if I'm sparring someone for the first time, I will literally sort of like, it's a game and it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then sometimes, as I said, you know, you'll play the game, and if the person just takes the bait, you're going to drop it in there. But I tend to find it's easier to drop a body shot in, okay, and drop someone than it is to hit them with a hard right hander.
Just slips. I was like, oh, you bastard. Yeah. Did you see? You know, when you see your hand.
Yeah. But that's the nice thing about it. I mean, let's face it, you know, to be able to do that with each other.
Oh, mate, I just remember it.
Yeah. Well,
I was going to say, I've got a question. So I've had, Owen's asked me to ask you a question, and I'll ask it because no issue. What was worse, his body shot or Owen's right hand? And you should know what I'm talking about as
I
well.
I do know exactly what you're talking about.
So what was worse, right, out of fucking his body shot or Owen's right hand?
Oh, I'm going to say it was Owen's body shot.
Was it Sam's body shot?
Sam's body shot was worse because he just literally took the breath out of me. I was like, yeah, do you know what that is? You're trying to get Owen's headshot. I was like,
nice.
I see it coming, and I was like, I know it's going to hurt, and smack. And I was like, nice. You know, so unfortunately, Sam gets that one.
Yeah,
take that one. Owen, keep going.
We know what's going to come next, though. This 10-8 round.
All right, this 10-8 round. People always go, "What is this 10-8 round?" I said, "Right, what happened was, right at the time, I think I go through phases where it goes to back to that." You keep yourself at a certain level of fitness.
Yeah.
Then every now and again, you'll go, right, let's push it. And at that time, I was pushing it. So I was training probably 3-4 times a week, and I was on it. And it was a case of we'd had a spar, and I was literally, do you know what I mean? You just going, without being horrible, I said,
Lima.
You are literally not getting near me tonight. Yeah.
So you and you two.
Yeah, I was mugging him off that.
Right.
I was literally making him look bad.
Was this the same time we were sparring? This is where the slipping and fucking.
Yeah, yeah, literally just fucking around. And you just literally, it's a case of, again, it's where you sort of like go, you have to keep it in context. And I go, look, how old was I? 41.
You was
43, 44?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you said do it again when you're 50.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember that.
You know, and I remember, that's what I do now. I keep it in context and I go, look, I can't do that anymore. But I have moments of it when I'm sparring with people, you know, but I can't sustain it. And that, unfortunately, that's Mother Nature. So, but at the time, it was a case of, as I said, I go through phases where training becomes obsessive.
Yeah.
And I think anyone that's very, very good at something, you have to be obsessive about it. So I think, and I'm not saying that you two weren't, but I think that's one of the things that I see with people sometimes. They're not quite obsessive about it. They think about it a lot, but they don't necessarily do it a lot. I see people that talk about stuff, and, you know, there was a phase of where people are signing pro contracts, and I go, and I'm quite blunt. You know, I tend to go, I'm not interested. Yeah, you've signed, wait till you've had your fourth or fifth pro fight, then I'll give you the respect. But until that time, all you've done is sign a bit of paper.
But if you can't fight, in my mantra, you can't fight, you train. If you can't train, you talk. Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
Right, so, So, you know, and at the time it was a case of there was people that were signing pro contracts like it was a hobby. And I was like, look, I'm not interested. You just need to put the time in, you know, because again, I was seeing people, they were talking about boxing and fighting and everything else. Like, hold on, I've seen you out on a piss all weekend, right? And I go, and you've been literally twitching your nose for the last fucking half an hour. Right? So there was an awful lot. I go, look, I'd say, look, if you're going to be a pro, act like a pro. And, you know, same thing again. I look at the likes of Grant, Dan Woodgate.
Yeah.
Act professional. The way that they come across, the whole, not just the their ability, it's outside.
Demeanour.
The whole demeanour. They act professionals, you know, and that's what I like to see. Mm. And I think that's what, if those guys end up coaching later on in life, they'll literally put that into the people that they see.
Yeah.
Because that's how they are, you know. Whereas some people, I'd go, yeah, you might be a fantastic athlete, great, but you'll be a bad role model. You know, and I go, that's part of the problem. You know, so with boxing, you tend to find it's the role model, the person that's in front of them. They, you know, these young lads, they're looking for someone that's going to give them this sort of like, yeah. But is it going to be the right way? Is it going to be a case of, you know, I've seen lads that literally just completely go off the rails.
Yeah.
You know, and then and people that are very, very talented, I go, look, you're just wasting it.
Yeah, which is saying I think we've seen as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so, but again, it's one of those ones where you go, let's say I have too many regrets. I do have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Ashwin's one of them.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, purely because, don't get me wrong, I messaged Ashwin afterwards and I said to him, I wish I could have done more. Because he really, really, for me, it was a case when I found out what happened to him, I was proper upset.
Mm-hmm.
So I phoned him up and spoke to him. And it was all right with me. And he said, look, you did everything you could. You know, and I think that's what I would like to see more of in boxing.
People helping people.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think they do. I think there's too much of a case of the things with the shows that you guys know on about. Everybody's talking about a line in their pockets.
Everyone, well, yeah. But that's the world, I think, that we live in at the moment.
You know, this is where, again, people sort of like, you know, their interest about line in their pockets, you know, and I go, well, how much are you putting your time out for the fighters? Are you looking out for these guys? You know, people, it's very easy. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a boxing instructor of any description, but I know it'd be very easy for me to set up a boxing club.
Yeah.
Right? It's not regulated. Okay. Do these boxing clubs have to have a first aider on site?
Never thought about that. Don't think so.
Right.
I think they have to have phone. That, no,
standard kit.
I think, yeah, no. Like I know.
You're talking about
I think amateur.
Yeah.
Amateur clubs, I think.
Amateur
you
clubs probably do, but yeah. I mean, I'm licensed.
Yeah.
We didn't. Anyone, there's no regulations there, is there?
We didn't.
No.
We just but
that's
the thing, too.
That's
what
I'm saying. You know, you beat the crap out of each other and it's fine. And, you know, you're all very. Sort of like it's a bit of fun,
yeah.
But at what point does it become quite serious when that person's got a serious injury?
Yeah,
because I mean, don't get me wrong, I've literally done some dumb shit where I've, because of the job that I've got now, I've got talking to somebody and we got a common interest. I had a young lad that I was working with, ex para, right?
They're fucking nuts as well,
you know, and he's got talking. He said, I love me boxing. I said, I love me boxing as well. You fancy do a bit of sparring? Where can we spar? I'll find somewhere. I'm sparring at work, and I'll be careful what I say, at work in a, what I call a storeroom.
It's a freezer.
in a storeroom, concrete walls all around with a concrete floor,
yeah.
And we're having it. Because we're afraid, but if something goes wrong,
you could potentially fall
into hurt you. But that's two people. You think about the clubs up and down the country.
But you say that, I'm like... I remember sparring in the Navy and you just have one glove each and you're just punching each other. Do you know what I mean? So it happens.
It does happen. It's just one of those ones where I'd go, it's not necessary. I mean, people say, yeah, it's good for the, you know, you'll separate.
Yeah.
People find out if they're into boxing or not, get a smack in the face and they'll go, well, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But then I've seen other stories and I've heard, you know, people and I've seen it where you've got two guys where one of them's getting battered.
We've had this, haven't we, where that happens, where, you know, where you're watching someone get battered and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, you're
not looking after somebody. And I think I've had to pull you out of sparring sessions before where you've done nearly 10 rounds and then someone's jumped in fresh and then you're not learning nothing. I don't believe you're learning.
Like you're just a punchbag.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing yourself any favours. And I go, well, who's looking out for your interests at that point in time?
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing it off your own back and you're there in that environment and you're enjoying yourself and it's something that you love doing, it's great. But then somebody needs to actually go, no, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and you see that with the pros. I mean, the pros will put on head guards, groin guards, body protectors, the full works.
Yeah, and so I'll do that there, even when I'm down at gym. But when we used to be doing...
No head guards.
I've got
a thing with head guards. I've got my own thing with head guards, but I get your thing.
Yeah. It's just so that, you know, for me, it's a case of, with boxing, it's a case of... People should look out as instructors. They should look out for people more.
Yeah.
You know, because at some point it will happen, and I wouldn't want that. You know, I wouldn't want to be that individual that has to go around to someone's house and go, look, your son was at my club today and he's been hurt and he's up in the hospital.
Potentially.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, let's face it, let's be totally honest about it. Punching in someone in the head, right, is not normal on the receiving end of it.
No. Right? Any form of sport.
Any form of sport. You know, you look at things like rugby, you look at American football where there's contact involved and they're talking about the brain being shaken.
Yeah. Even header in football.
Yeah, header in football. That's major now. You know, and it's a case
that's coming now.
So, and it's one of those things, you know, you do these sports, but there has to be, I'd say...
Regulation.
Yeah.
Because
there
isn't any. You know, I know there was a white collar death recently, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was, yeah.
You know, and that was
there was a pro guy that had died as well. And I remember that was quite big up in the Midlands-ish.
Yeah.
I remember that being quite big news as well. And that's regulated. So even if it's regulated, it's still a dangerous sport.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's like that you should bring in so much regulation that people don't want to do it anymore. But I'm saying the people that run these clubs should take it upon themselves morally to just literally go, do you know what? I'm earning £200-£400 a month out of this. Yeah. I'm going to put a little bit of money by. Because 9 times out of 10, these guys do have another job as well. This is something they love doing as well.
Yeah.
So that, and that's being honest about it. They actually love the boxing side of it. And they've got kids that are coming along, enjoying what they do. And I go, well, how much did it cost you to learn to do a first aid course?
Yeah.
What, £70, £80? I said, just do a basic first aid course. Make sure there's a first aid kit in the gym.
Yeah.
And do that yearly.
And it's nothing. I think that is the absolute bare minimum. You know, so that's where I think tend to find with the boxing clubs there. They don't necessarily do themselves a lot of favours. Mm. And that's my opinion, you know. But then at the same time, the difference between... As I said, between martial arts and boxing is quite different. They're both different.
Yeah,
you know, and they both had their faults with regards to, you know, as I said, some of them are just out for the money side of it. And as I said, I don't like the bullshit that goes with martial arts. It's just one of those things I've accepted.
You're on your own there.
Yeah. You know.
Is there anything else?
No, that's all wise.
all right, before you got anything?
No.
All right, and before you go, as we like to do with all our guests, the create the perfect boxer. I'm guessing you've heard this.
Oh, I have heard this.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Some people crumble as I can see your face. Some people are quite good at it. So we'll go footwork.
It'll be Lemachenko from what I've seen of him.
Punch power?
For me, it'll be Hamid.
Oh, Nassim Hamid. Oh, yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah,
that's half a pound. His
son's coming out, isn't it?
Again, there's another one who's going off the subject a little bit. Couldn't handle that loss.
Really?
That's all he was. Barrera, when he lost, fell apart.
Yeah.
Too many people blowing smoke up his ass going, you're fucking amazing.
chin?
Eubank Senior.
Boxing IQ?
Yeah, I'll rate that.
Yeah.
Boxing IQ?
Canelo.
What about defensive work?
Mayweather.
And attacking prowess?
Tyson.
All right. thank you for joining us. That was
cheers, lads. Yeah, it was nice to see you again.
Like I said, it's good. I'm glad you come on. I'm glad to finally get you on.
I'll see you in about another 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you at gym.
It's saying, I'll come up to Daniel's gym and that. So I'm doing me and come up there at one point.
It's time, isn't it? It's time, mate.
Yeah, I'm dusting the gloves off again anyway. So I'm out in September for heavyweight now. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'll make a bit of time when I come up to Daniel's gym.
Yeah, you should enjoy it. I mean, there's so much to learn out there. There's the one thing that I see is that people's knowledge is, the internet is a fantastic thing, you know, and from my point of view, I go, do you know what, I wish I was born at a different time. I wish I was born now, because it's just so much scope.
Yeah.
And what you can do and learn, and I've always found amazing what people can do physically, you know, what people can do. I mean, if you ever follow calisthenics, bodyweight stuff.
Dave Howell does a lot of it, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, Dave Howell does a lot of that.
If you do all of that sort of stuff, where you're doing like chin-ups and then you're doing what they call muscle-ups and flag poles and all stuff like this, which is gymnastics-type based, but what I've always found amazing what the body can do.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what's always interested me. One of the reasons I used to love doing martial arts was, as a youngster, when I say youngster, I was even in the to my late 20s, I could put my foot on the top of a 6-foot door without warming up. Yeah, flexibility. Sure, I can't do that anymore.
I've never been able to.
But then... But then I've always found amazing what people can do physically with their own body.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Just whether it be strength, whether it be skill. I mean, you look at... I've trained with gymnasts.
Yeah.
You know, and if you watch a gymnast, being able to control your body to do something... If you look at the guys that do MMA and you think to yourself, they don't look that strong, you know, when they grab hold of you, it's a completely different kettle of fish, you know. So I've always looked at everything that people do is fantastic and go, well, just take a bit of that.
Yeah.
Just add that to me. Yeah. And if it makes you a better person, take it.
Yeah, of course.
It's got to take it.
But yeah. Thank you for
nice to see you guys. Nice to see you.
Yeah, like I said, all the socials, the JMS Boxing Podcast. If you enjoyed it, Patreon, £3 a month. Yeah, cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.